Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Zechariah, chapter 8, verses 1 to 23. Zechariah 8, verse 1. And the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I am jealous for her with great wrath. Thus says the Lord, I have returned to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called the faithful city, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with staff in hand, because of great age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the sight of the remnants of this people in those days, should it also be marvelous in my sight, declares the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them to dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, in faithfulness and in righteousness. Thus says the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, you who in these days have been hearing these words from the mouth of the prophets who were present on the day that the foundation of the Lord, the house of the Lord of hosts, was laid, that the temple might be built. For before those days there was no wage for man or any wage for beast. Neither was there any safety from the foe for him who went out or came in. For I set every man against his neighbor. But now I will not deal with the remnant of this people as in the former days, declares the Lord of hosts. For there shall be a sowing of peace. The vine shall give its fruit, and the ground shall give its produce, and the heavens shall give their dew. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And as you have been a byword of cursing among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus says the Lord of hosts, as I purposed to bring disaster to you, when your fathers provoked me to wrath, and I did not relent, says the Lord of hosts, so again have I purposed in these days to bring good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear not. These are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. Do not devise evil in your hearts against one another, and love no false oath. For all these things I hate, declares the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah seasons of joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore, love truth and peace. Thus says the Lord of hosts, people shall yet come, even the inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go at once to entreat the favor of the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I myself am going. Many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to entreat the favor of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from the nations of every tongue shall take hold of the robe of a Jew and say, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
bring you greetings, my brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to give thanks to God for all that we have learned through our sermon and Bible study series from the book of Zechariah. And I'm thankful to come back from sabbatical to contribute to this sermon series. Let us go to God in prayer. Let us pray. God, our Father, we come before you this day with open hearts to receive your word. And we ask that you will awaken within us a renewed desire for you to respond with wholehearted obedience to live as your empowered witnesses in the world. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Exactly 107 years ago, on this very day, 28 September 1918, in the closing weeks of World War I, a British soldier in a battlefield in northern France made a momentous decision. As the German troops retreated, Private Henry Tenney saw a soldier stumbling into his line of sight, and he took aim, trying to shoot at that soldier. And he realized that the enemy soldier was injured. He was no longer a threat. And so Private Tenney lowered his rifle, choosing not to fire. That German soldier nodded in gratitude, and he retreated into safety. That story would have been forgotten if not for what happened thereafter. Although historians debate the facts, it seemed that the German soldier, many years later, he acquired a painting from which he identified Private Tenney, who had spared his life many years ago. And the name of that German soldier was Adolf Hitler. That moment of mercy should have changed the course of history. Sadly, it did not turn the world toward peace, but toward another world war. 80 years since the end of World War II, instead of a lasting peace, we have conflict zones happening in all parts of the world. Instead of a world where people live in safety, Ukrainians die in their sleep because of missile and drone attacks in the middle of the night. Instead of a world where children can play in peace, children in Gaza starve to death. Instead of a world where human lives can flourish, many cut short by violence. And only when we finally can admit and confess that human peace is fragile can we finally turn to the kind of peace which God promised through Zechariah in chapter 8. After confronting the people in the previous chapter for their empty worship and meaningless fasting, we have come to the turning point. The turning point of what it means to live life in God's kingdom, a life of restoration, a life of renewal, a life of revitalization. The first aspect of life in God's kingdom is a restored people. After judgment, exile, and return to Jerusalem, God declares in verses 1 to 8 that in his divine jealousy, in his protective love, he will once again return and dwell with the people in Zion. And that restored relationship comes firstly with the promise of divine presence, because God will return and dwell in Zion. This restored relationship comes secondly with the promise of divine blessings. A divine blessings where old people and young children, they live and play and dwell in peace and security. That restored relationship comes thirdly with the promise of divine salvation. God himself will once again protect and deliver his people. And these promises of divine presence, divine blessings, divine salvation, echo the promises which God made to his people many years ago when God delivered his people out of slavery in Egypt, entered into a covenant with them and promised that he will be their God, he will bless them for their obedience, and he will defend them from their enemies. The covenant which God had made with his people many years ago. And our sermon and Bible study series tell us that all of these promises of God ultimately, essentially, finally fulfilled in his Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who inaugurated God's kingdom through his death and through his resurrection. And so going beyond the mere restoration of the physical temple, Jesus restored our relationship with God. Because through Christ, God's presence is with us. Through Christ, God's blessing come to us. Through Christ, God's salvation is for us. And the question would be, how does this restored relationship with God through Christ look like in this day and age? For a very long time, Singapore dream, defined by the five C's. And we remember that. Cash, credit card, car, condo, country club. And that list has evolved over the decades. And there is no definitive list because anyone can contribute a word starting with C into that list. But people have said that the new list could include career, community, choice, convenience, culture, credibility, conscious consumption, contentment, commitment, so on and so forth. Certainly, this new Singapore dream have helped us to move away from the very materialistic way in which we saw things way back then. But whether we prefer the old five C's, and I'm sure that some of us like the five C's, the original five C's, or whether we like the new C's, the point is that there remains a deep, unfulfilled longing that can only be fulfilled through Christ and Christ alone. Because through Christ, God's presence is with us. Through Christ, God's blessings come to us. Through Christ, God's salvation is for us. None of the C's can fulfill that. Because this is the kind of life in God's kingdom, a life which Christ promises to be full and abundant. There was once a wealthy Englishman by the name of Fitzgerald, a wealthy man who unfortunately lost his son. His son had a sickness and the son died young. After recovering from his grief, he amassed a great fortune. He had a very wonderful business empire and he amassed a great art collection. After he passed on, there was an auction for his art pieces and the people were all gathering, trying to bid for all the valuable pieces in that massive art collection. And the first piece that came up for auction was a very simple portrait. A very simple portrait of his young son who had died many years ago. And the title of that portrait was My Beloved Son. And no one bid for that because they were all looking at all the masterpieces later on that will be put up for auction. Why do they want to spend money to just buy this and bid for this simple portrait? So no one bid for it except for an old servant who had cared for the young son many years ago before he passed on. And so the old servant, he poured out all his savings and he bid for that. And after that, the auction immediately ended. And the people were all shocked. What happened? We were all waiting for all the wonderful masterpieces later on that we want to bid for. And the auctioneer replied, in the will of Fitzgerald, the one who bid for and obtained the portrait of my beloved son will receive the entire collection. In the same way, God promises the riches of his kingdom to all who has his son, Jesus Christ, because that is what it is like to have a restored relationship with God through Christ, because through Christ, God's presence is with us. Through Christ, God's blessings come to us. Through Christ, God's salvation is for us. The second aspect of life in God's kingdom is a renewed obedience. In verses 9 to 17, Zechariah shifted his focus from promise to challenge of a renewed obedience. And there are three aspects to this renewed obedience. Firstly, in verses 9 and 13, Zechariah calls the people not to fear, but let their hands be strong. And this encouragement echoes book of Haggai. Haggai encouraged the people, start the work and press on with the work, despite economic hardship, despite external opposition. So just as Haggai called the people to be strong to start the work, Zechariah called the people to be strong to complete the work. And so, renewed obedience is firstly, strength, not fear, in commitment. Strength, not fear, in commitment. The second aspect of renewed obedience is in verses 16 to 17. These are the word things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. Do not devise evil in your hearts against one another. And love no false oath, for all these things I hate, declares the Lord. So following from the warning back then in chapter 7, God repeated and emphasized his exhortation here in chapter 8. And the exhortation is not to lie, but to uphold the truth, not to uphold false witness, but to administer justice. And therefore, renewed obedience is secondly, truth, not evil, in character. Third aspect of renewed obedience is again in the same verses 16 to 17, but with an emphasis on verse 19. Therefore, love, truth, and peace. And that brings us to a question. What is the relation, the connection, and the association between truth and peace? What is the relation, connection, association between truth and peace? The answer is that without truth, there is no peace. Because truth is the pillar, the bedrock, and the foundation of peace. There is no peace without truth. A kind of peace which the Bible describes as shalom, that wholeness in the way we relate to God, with people and the world. And so, the third aspect of renewed obedience is peace, not strife, in community. And what does this mean for us today? By now, it should be clear that the theological emphasis in the book of Zechariah tells us that the rebuilding of the temple was not just about the restoring of a physical structure per se, but even more so, the renewing of a people and the renewing of their obedience. it was not just about the temple per se, but even more so, the restoring of a people and the renewal of their obedience. Our church theme for this year, Renewing Our Hearts, Building as One, captures this theological emphasis because we cannot build as one unless our hearts renew as one. So firstly, we are called towards strength, not fear, in commitment, whether in our own life, in our own ministry, whether in the building renewal project that we will start next year. If all these things threaten to plunge us into fear, the exhortation that God has for us today is not to fear, but let our hands be strong in our commitment. Secondly, we are called to truth, not evil, in character. Because our personal lives impact others. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his classic famous book, Life Together, has these words to say. Every act of self-control of the Christian is also a service to the fellowship. On the other hand, there is no sin in thought, word, or deed, no matter how personal or secret, that does not inflict injury upon the whole fellowship. In a society where trust can be easily broken and continues to be broken by scams and more recently fake bulk orders of one kind or another, we are called to show that we are a restored people with renewed obedience because of truth, not evil, in character. And that shows that we are a restored people. Thirdly, we are called to peace, not strife, in community. The American astronaut, Donna Williams, once said these words the very first time he went into space and saw planet Earth. He said, "The things that we share in our world are far more valuable than those which divide us." The things that we share in our world are far more valuable than those which divide us. And that, if that is true from the human perspective, and that is even more true from the spiritual perspective, because when we place Christ at the center of our lives, and our family, our ministry, and in PSPC, there is nothing that we cannot complete. There is nothing that we cannot overcome. Because we are a restored people with a renewed obedience. The third aspect of life in God's kingdom is a revitalized witness. Earlier in chapter 7, we have seen and read about the mention of fasting to express remorse, repentance. But with chapter 8, promise of restored relationship and renewed obedience, verses 18 to 23 paints a picture of transformation. Transformation from the tragic past to a promising future. From fasting to feasting. From weeping to rejoicing. From repentance to celebration. And the transformation would be so radical, so remarkable, so wonderful, that the effect is described in verse 23. In those days, 10 men from the nations of every tongue shall take hold of the rope of a Jew, saying, "Let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." And so the picture is that Gentiles from every city, nation, tongue, would all witness whatever that was happening in Zion, and they will want to be part of this. In fact, the reference of 10 Gentiles taking hold of one single Jew uses the biblical symbolism of number 10. Number 10 to emphasize and symbolize totality, the totality of humanity. They would witness the blessings upon God's people and they will want to be part of this. And that is how a restored people with renewed obedience present a revitalized witness. A witness of God's favor to the nations, a channel of God's blessings to the people. And all this brings us all the way back to the book of Genesis. God promised Abraham, as he made that covenant with him, that he, Abraham, and his descendants will be a blessing to the nations. And so when we examine the Abrahamic covenant, when we examine Zechariah's prophecy in the light of the cross of Jesus Christ, we see that we are a people restored to God with obedience renewed through Christ, with witness revitalized by the Spirit, that we go forth from Jerusalem to all Judea and Samaria unto the ends of the earth. How do we present a revitalized witness in this day and age? The fact that a restored people with renewed obedience presenting a revitalized witness shows us the timeless principle. Holiness empowers witness. This principle worked in the past, it continues to work today, it will continue to work in the future, because it is a timeless principle. And when we understand that holiness empowers witness, it has implications for all of life. In all the spheres that we are in, for example, in the way that we care for our family, in the way that students handle their studies, in the way that we do our work in the marketplace, and in the way that we conduct ourselves in the community, in a society where the last, the lost, and the least could be targets and victims of injustice, intolerance, and inequality, where the poor, the needy, the homeless, migrant workers are such victims of injustice, intolerance, inequality. Consider this description of Christians. They love one another. They never fail to help widows. They save orphans from those who would hurt them. If they have something, they give freely to the man who has nothing. If they see a stranger, they take him home and are happy as though he were a real brother. That would have been a wonderful description of how the church served the community and blessed the world in this day and age. But the fact is that this is not a recent description at all. At a time in the early second century, when Christianity was badly misunderstood in the Roman Empire, a philosopher in Athens, Aristides, wrote this description of Christians to the Roman Emperor Hadrian. Holiness empowers witness. It lit the fire then, and it will fuel the flame today, because that is a timeless principle. Therefore, let us go forth to be a people restored to God with obedience renewed through Christ, with our witness revitalized by the Spirit, to be a blessing to the world. This year, as the world commemorates the 80th anniversary of the end of World War II, our memories go back to a city in Eastern Europe that had been flattened to the ground at the end of the war. 85% of all its buildings reduced to ashes, reduced to ruins. The situation was so hopeless then that international experts say that it would be impossible to rebuild the city. But the people did not give up. Using old photographs, using old paintings, using old building blueprints, they rebuilt the city brick by brick, according to what they saw in the original design, in these old paintings, in these old photographs, according to this old blueprint. Slowly but surely, the roads were repaved, the buildings rebuilt, monuments restored, churches reconstructed, and the city came back to life. Today, in Poland, in the city of Warsaw, in a historic old town, we have a UNESCO World Heritage Site because of its faithful reconstruction and restoration of what was once destroyed. And if human hands can rebuild from ruins, how much more can the hand of the Almighty God restore, renew, and revitalize us? Amen. Let us all stand as we respond to God. My brothers and sisters, we have come to chapter 8 of Zechariah. God's word to the people, the remnants back then, is his word to us when we see it being fulfilled in Christ, because through Christ, God's presence is with us. Through Christ, God's blessings come to us. Through Christ, God's salvation is for us. And our prayer this day is that God, our Father, we give thanks that the words of prophecy and exhortation that Zechariah had given to the remnants were fulfilled through the Messiah, your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And for those among us whose lives are in ruins, who cannot see a way out of their desolation, we pray that your Holy Spirit will restore them back to yourself. And for those among us whose lives are trapped in sin, who cannot seem to break free, we pray that your Holy Spirit will set them free to renew their obedience back to you. For those among us who are surrounded by opportunities to reach out, but lack the courage and conviction to do so, we pray that your Spirit will empower their witness under the hand of the Almighty God and the inspiration of your Spirit. May we live in your kingdom as a restored people with renewed obedience for revitalized witness. For we pray this in the name of our Messiah, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who brings your promises to ultimate fulfillment. Amen. Please be seated.